Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But what I'm trying to say is too often people see church things. Doesn't matter what church, some to one degree or some to a greater degree or lesser degree, but most of the time in most churches, and I hate to say it, I hate to speak bad about churches, it's not my intent. I'm sure there are many good churches, but people begin to see the things that go on during the service. Some churches, we don't do it here, and I don't do it down the road in New Orleans. I have a general outline of what I'd like to do, how I'd like to start the service with singing and maybe prayer, maybe a testimony or something. At some point, we're going to take the offering, maybe sing a special song or something. We're going to preach, and hopefully some sort of an invitation that somebody would respond to the preaching. There's a general outline of how I'd like this service to go. Many churches, they print the outline in the bulletin. And everybody knows that Sister So-and-so is going to sing, and then the deacon's going to say something, and they're going to take up an offering, and then whatever. I've seen it so bad to where if they do it out of order, people get upset. They expect it to go a certain way. And if they do that at your church, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on your church. Please misunderstand. If you're listening to my radio, I'm not picking on your church. My focus is not to say anything bad about any church. My focus is to lift up Jesus Christ. And I've said this before, and I've said it poorly, but it's not about how the church is conducted. It's not the color of the pews or the color of the carpet. It's not who we're going to elect for deacon next year or whatever. But in many churches, that's all the people are concerned about. The Bible says, and I preached it a few weeks ago, that Jesus went into one town, and when they found out he was there, he went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee or whatever, they found out he was there, and they sent runners 2, 3, 4, 5 miles, running to this town, running to that town, telling the people, maybe ringing the bell or whatever, or beating the drum or whatever to get people's attention and saying, "Hey, Jesus is over here at the beach next to this other town over here. Y'all come. And if anybody's sick, or half dead, or possessed with some demon or something, you get them over there because Jesus is here. Y'all have heard about him? We all believe that he's the Messiah. Come on, let's go. I'm running back. Y'all come with me. Let's go see Jesus." They dropped everything they were doing to go see Jesus. I don't care what color carpet you have. It doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. What matters is Jesus. He's the one that gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that suffered and bled and died for our sins and for the sins of the entire world. I hate being a killjoy. I hate any kind of correction. I don't enjoy it, but I know in my own life I've seen more than the color of the carpet. I've caught a glimpse of the King of Kings. And there have been times in my life when I've been very close to the Lord. Verse 2 and verse 3 here, that's how I felt. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Verse 3, it says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young." You can't get more secure than that. You know, bird takes all of his time looking for food and looking for a place to sit where he won't get eaten. And that bird finds a place, this is the right place, that other one won't do, it's got to be right here, and goes get sticks or whatever, twigs or something, and makes a nest. Then she's always watching out for the cat or the snake or whatever, but this is the place that she chose to lay eggs and raise her young. But it says, the altars of God, the house of God, the courts of God, the tabernacle of God, that's the place that God has for us. It says in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I'm reminded of when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, that they cut down palm branches, and he was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. We know that. And they took palm branches, cut them down, and threw them or strew them in front of him where the donkey would ride. We've seen in movies and what have you, there's the king and he's walking down the road or whatever, and there's some little fool, I guess, some servant with a silly hat or whatever, that's taking rose petals or something and throwing them on the ground so that the king doesn't have his foot touch the ground but the rose petals. That's what they did for Jesus. They took palm branches, maybe not roses, but they threw them in front of the path of the donkey and sang, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Maybe they had a glimpse, I don't know, but that's what they were moved upon by the Spirit to do. We ought to spend our time praising God, worshiping him, and crying out for more of him. I don't care for more of church. I don't really care about church. I want something that touches my heart. I want something that stirs me on the inside. I want something that satisfies my soul in drought. I want what the woman at the well had, that she drank from the living water that Jesus had. Dropped her water pot, ran into the city, and was the first woman evangelist, I guess, said, hey, come see a man. He told me everything I ever did. Her soul was satisfied. The longing in her soul was satisfied. The emptiness and the thirst in her soul, the Holy Spirit satisfied. Instead of looking at what somebody has on or what kind of hat, pretty hat or ugly hat, none of that stuff matters. What matters is that we catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Not to say that he's going to appear, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but he touches the heart. He illuminates the Word of God. And he quenches the thirst in our hearts if we let him. This word, Selah, it's used twice. A few verses, four verses in this case. And then it says, Selah, S-E-L-A-H. In Hebrew it means, stop and think. All of these psalms, or at least most of them, were musical. They were hymns or something like that, but they were sung in the synagogues or what have you. Selah is a musical term. I'm a musician. Maybe I can understand what it was that they were saying. There was some kind of break or change in the music. Maybe they did an instrumental portion there for a minute or something. But the idea was, hey, we just sang something that the words are important. Stop and think for a minute about what we said. I could close the sermon here. My three or four verses, that's enough. I've been trying to get this across, that there's a greater relationship to be had. As far as you want to go with God, he's got more for you. But I can assure you, he's more than the little rituals you've come to expect because you've been coming to church 4, 5, 6 years, and that's what they do every Sunday service. it's going to be in this order. Jesus is more than that. He's much more than that. I remember Isaiah in chapter 6 that he was taken to heaven and he saw God on the throne. And he says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And then Peter, at one point they were fishing and they hadn't caught anything. I believe that I've got the story right. Jesus said, "Well, look, go out a little ways and cast on that side of the boat." And they said, "You ain't no fisherman. You can bang nails, but you're not a fisherman. What do you know about that? But you know, you told us, okay, we'll do it." So they cast on that side the net, and man, they had so many fish, the net broke. And Peter was so ashamed and so confronted with the fact that this was the Lord of glory that he jumped into the sea and said, "Lord, depart from me, because I'm a sinful man." God is so much greater than this pitiful preacher could ever tell. But many times my soul longs for more of God. Many times I've experienced this, that I feel like I'm going to faint, fall over or something, if I can't have more of God in my life. And I encourage you, if you're listening, that somehow you get a glimpse of this. And somehow you can draw closer to God. For He truly can satisfy. He truly can take care of every need that you have. There's nothing too hard for Him. No problem too difficult. God can take care of you. But let's move on a little bit. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, whose heart are the ways of them." You're blessed if you trust in God's strength and not your own. But it says, "Who, passing through the valley of Baca, maketh it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." I'm going to get back to these couple of verses. This verse 6 I'm going to come back to, but in verse 7 it says, "They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." You should trust in the strength of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God. I could tell, I guess, stories from my own life, testimonies maybe, of how I thought, "Man, I've got a problem. Man, I need to do this." And God says, no, I want you to do this other thing instead. And it was the right thing to do. And there have been other times that I said, "I want to do this." And God said, "No, I want you to do the other thing." And I said, "No, I'm going to do this." And it was the wrong thing to do. You say, "Preacher, you know, we don't believe in our church that God speaks to people." Well, I'm sorry. The Bible says that He speaks to people. And this preacher can testify that the Bible is true when it says that God speaks to people. Again and again and again and again, and I can go all afternoon, I guess, perhaps giving examples of how in the Bible God speaks to people. I don't care that we're in the 21st century. I don't care that you got a Star Trek communicator in your pocket. I don't care. All the technology, none of that stuff matters. God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. God knows what to do. Trust in Him. He will not lead you wrong. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Stop and think. We ought to make God's house a house of prayer. We ought to pray without ceasing. David said he prayed 3 times a day and said, "That wasn't enough. Let me pray 7 times a day, and well, that's not enough. Let me pray all day long." But if you have troubles, bring your troubles to God. Depend upon God. Look to God. Forget what you think it ought to be, and forget what mom or uncle said. What does God say? Look to Him. Trust in Him. Depend upon Him. God knows what to do. If you'll trust Him, He'll show you. If you trust Him, grab hold of His hand, as it were, and say, Lord, lead me. He'll do it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, He won't lead you. And I'm sorry for you. Verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of Thine anointed. We're God's anointed. We're Christians. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, etc. It says, behold, God, our shield. When you go to battle, and I could think of the Old Testament many times that they did. I could think of Paul when, for instance, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he lists the armor of God. We have a shield. If the enemy's coming against you, two things you want to do. You want to, first off, protect yourself. You don't want to go out there with a sword and no shield because you're not going to last long. But it says God is your shield. When the enemy, when Satan does something to come against you, or when those heathens at work talk bad about you behind your back or to your face or whatever, maybe they lie about you or whatever, let God be your shield. Hide behind Him. Trust in Him. Be good to those that persecute you and pray for them. Don't fight back, but trust in God, who's your shield. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A day in God's house. And again, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about in His presence. You can be washing dishes, or driving the truck, or cutting grass, or taking a shower, and be in God's presence. It's not about the church at 10:30 on Sunday morning. It's being with the Lord, fellowshipping with Him. I'd rather be, He said, a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Let me take the most menial job in the kingdom of God and I'll just open the door when they come, or maybe shake their hand or something. And in some churches they have ushers or greeters or something like that. I'd rather spend one day being a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. If I quit going to church and went back to my old stuff and maybe get with my old buddies and I can make some money and, you know, and have a good time and, yeah, you could. But that's the wrong way. You may end up in jail or shot or who knows what. It's better to be in the house of God. It's better to be doing some menial task. Counting hymn books, make sure nobody stole one. That's your job in the church. Well, I'd rather do that than the hangout where I used to be in the bar or whatever. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Look at that. It says, the Lord is a sun and shield. We talked about the shield a bit ago. If you're going to fight in a battle, again, with hand weapons, it's good to have a shield. And you can be protected from the arrows or whatever by that shield. But it says the Lord is a sun and shield. Well, if it said the Lord was a sword and shield, then we'd be ready. We got our offensive weapon and our defensive weapon. But right here it says the Lord is a sun and shield. They would fight in the open plain, and they would take their shields, which were out of metal, made out of metal, and they would polish them. And you want it to be where the sun was at your back. And when the enemy came to you, you had your shield in front of you, and the sun would bounce off that polished metal and shine right back into their faces. So you could see them but they couldn't see you. Or they could sort of see you, but they never knew exactly where you were, and what do you know? Hey, I'm dead, they'd say. The Lord is a sun and shield. Not only is He the shield, as we just read a few verses ago, but He's the sun that shines into the shield. I think that's wonderful that God does that for us. But what about the sword and shield? Well, it doesn't directly mention sword in this verse or this chapter. But indirectly it does. It said in verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them." And in verse 6, "who, passing through the valley of Baca, maketh it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." That's the sword. That's the sword. In Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And again, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Well, what do we do with the Word of God? We preach it. We testify. We minister to people. We pastor people. This valley of Baca, apparently, I can infer from the context, it was a valley, obviously, maybe high up in the mountains of Israel, and we know Israel is half desert. I guess everybody knew this valley of Baca was dry. There wasn't a creek, there wasn't a river or nothing. It was just dry. But it says that the man of God, who his soul longed after God and fainted after Him and cried out for more of Him, that kind of man that spends time with God. You know, David, he wrote half the Psalms, and probably half of those that he wrote when he was a shepherd boy, running after those sheep saying, "Hey, no, no, come back, come back," or whatever shepherds do. He spent time caring for the sheep, and he spent time ministering to the Lord, waiting on God, praying, singing, composing psalms, what have you. God prepared him to be king while he was out there chasing after those lost sheep. If you're that kind of man, then you can pass through a valley that doesn't have any water, and you'll dig a well. You can dig a well in a person's life, maybe the life of your family, or maybe if, like me, I'm trying to start a church or some missionary that goes to some forgotten little place. But maybe you can't go in the mission field. Maybe all you can do is go up and down the block, and maybe there's somebody that you can minister to. Who knows? Maybe that kid committed suicide and wife ran off, or who knows what? Kid on drugs or something. And you can minister to that person. They're dry. They're at the end. They don't know what to do. You can dig a well in their life if you've spent time first with the Lord. That's the sword of the Spirit. You can minister the Word of God, and you can help somebody. You can bring them to the Lord, and you can carry the gospel to them, and you can change their life. Again, it's not you. You can't do anything. I know that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, but you're the one that has to go across the street and talk to them. You can make a difference in someone's life. But back to 11, the Lord God is His sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You got a problem? Take it to Jesus. You need something in your life? Tell it to Jesus. He will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. And the last verse, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We very much appreciate Your help. Please help us today. I'm asking I know I'm not a very good preacher. I understand all of that. But I know that you're on the throne. And I'm trusting that you've used me somehow to touch the heart. And that's what I want. And I'm so happy that I came across this passage when I was studying, because it describes exactly what's in my heart. Please help those listening that they would also desire what I've found. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.